You look at all the advice and all the podcasts and all the videos and all the opinions and all the this and all the that. It is just like a chaotic sky. It's like noise, noise, noise. And I think that the way that we win, the way that this thing gets easier, the way that it gets better, is we have to be massive simplifiers. I feel very strongly it's they will be the people who can simplify the best. They will be the people who can take, like, you know, the 400 things that you need to do to run a successful business, and they can put it in like three major categories. So you're not thinking of 400 things all the time. I call them majors and minors, right? Like, am I doing these three major things? Because the whole world wants me to pay attention and like fixate on the minors, right? We're all seeing the same stuff, man. We're all seeing the AI, and we're all seeing, you know, the economy, and we're all seeing the political realm. And there's going to be some people, most people, if we look at them as a model or a picture, who are going to have belief in the doubt. And belief in doubt will keep everyone out. Everyone. I am certainly not perfect at it, but I want my life to be a life where I see what's possible. I believe it's reachable. I have faith in the thing and I go for it. And hopefully there's a couple other people who I can inspire to come along with me. Do you ever find yourself trying to figure out, what's the best action that I should take? There's so many things that I could be doing. There's so many options that I have lots of different goals, ambitions, things that I'm trying to accomplish, but I only have 24 hours in a day. How do I decide where to allocate my time, where to allocate my resources, my thinking, where to allocate my energy? That's what we're going to talk about here today. Jake and I, we're going to talk about Jake and some of the big decisions he's trying to make and help him figure out if we can. You know, where should he be investing his energy? Where should he be investing his time? And hopefully you find something in here helpful as well, because I think this is not unique to Jake by any means. We all deal with it, and it seems to be more and more difficult in this crazy world, in this crazy time that we're living, to actually figure out how to allocate our time and our capacity in a way that actually gets us to where we want to be. So with that, Jake, thanks for being here. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, appreciate it, Zach. You know, through a lot of our previous conversations, it's really opened up my eyes to the potential in areas that I probably would not have seen before. It's kind of I think oftentimes, you know, a little bit of ignorance is bliss, because now I'm at the point where I'm really aware of my time. And, you know, that time awareness has really put a little bit of, I wouldn't want to say pressure, it's a different sort of feeling, but really makes me focus on what I really need to do next. Is I want to take the right next step. Instead of just taking the next step, I want to take the right next step, right? So that's where I kind of wanted to talk with you about this. And this kind of really sprouted from you and I have been talking a lot about uses of AI, right? And we're really interested in using AI, and that can allow, that can cause in your brain, like, okay, there's shiny ball syndrome. There's so many ways that you can use this right now. It's like, okay, what is the best time to use this? And I spent this last weekend, you know, spending about probably 14 hours straight on Saturday, and then another 6 hours on Sunday, you know, building something. And I presented it to you, and you were like, okay, well, let's actually look at this. Cause if you did it a different way, it would have probably saved you that amount of time. Right. And you probably would have been closer to the goal that you're actually trying to go for. And I think it's like, when I look at that and look at that conversation that we had, I want to learn how to do that on my own. You know what I mean? Like, I want to learn how to identify the things that are, I guess, to use the phrase signal versus noise, but I want to learn the things that if I did that first, it would actually lead to my long-term goal better than if I did this thing first, you know?
Yeah. So maybe don't give away all your secrets, but maybe I think it would be helpful if, for the audience who's watching or listening to this, maybe just give them a little context as to, this is kind of what I was embarking on, the Cliff Notes version, and this is kind of what I had spent this time doing, and then this is what you, as far as you heard it, this is what I think I heard you tell me that I could have done, and then maybe what I have to say might make more sense to anybody listening or watching.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair. I think, you know, it really started with, we had this idea of, you know, there's a lot of websites out there that are probably needing some serious updating. So, you know, I really wanted to use AI to go out there and help people update their websites. It's like the time from deployment or conception to deployment for these ideas, and especially websites, is like cut in half now. Using the tools that are out there, it's like incredible. So it's like, for me, you know, looking for something to gravitate towards long term, I see the upside in it. So I was like, okay, let's look into this. And so started building the infrastructure for making it a more repeatable process. Just the way I think, the first thing I wanted to think of is like, okay, if I land somebody who's interested in having their website updated, you know, what I want to make sure that I can deliver an actual product for them. So, and I want to make sure that it's repeatable. So this was my thought process. And so I spent the entire weekend basically building all of the steps. I have a 52-page document on my thing that if anybody were to do this from the beginning, they could read this document, do it step by step by step. But, you know, I'm at the point right now where I don't have anybody who wants to actually build a website, right? So I built all of this infrastructure to be like, okay, I could do this. I could do it for as many people as possible because it's repeatable. I fit it into a certain time frame that I wanted to build it in. And I got that a whole process done, but now I'm sitting here like, you know, with my pants down a little bit and like, okay, well now I need to go find people who actually want this thing before. And this is what you explained to me, which I think is super valuable. Before, you know, you did that, you should probably see if there's anybody that even actually wants their website built and do it that way. And I was like, okay, wow, that's totally fair. And then I started thinking about like how that was kind of, from my point of view, a speculative mindset of like, okay, I'm going to build all this stuff in hopes that somebody wants their website done. And it kind of goes against the problem that I'm actually trying to solve of like, okay, I just want a little financial freedom in my life. And you're like, okay, well, you can solve all those other things in the background. And go and jump into this thing and probably solve a lot of the things that you're solving for way ahead of time, but while you're doing the thing, right?
Yeah. So I think much of my feedback was based in this principle. I'll call it a principle. And some people might not like this, but I truly believe it's true, which is things don't happen until something gets sold. There's a lot of people that don't like salespeople. There's a lot of people that don't like sales. And yet everything that we do in life is predicated on somebody having sold somebody something. It could be an idea. It could be a good. It could be a service. It's something, right? Like when you get married, you sold, you know, you pitched in a way like who you were and why you were the right fit to the person you got married to, right? Now, when you say the word sales, a lot of people, it just like rubs them the wrong way. And so I'm not saying it in the context of what those folks might say or think. What I'm saying it in the context of is listen, like life is about influence. Life is about leading and following, and all of that incorporates itself into this idea of selling. And so I think for this particular instance, when I think about like, we had this conversation before we hit record, people always throw out the word skill. Hey, we got to teach the kids skills and I got to develop my skills. And for me, I don't know, maybe I'm just have a weird mind, but that's like a word that is a little bit ambiguous to me. And I think the better word, even though it probably means the same thing, is ability. What are my abilities? What abilities do I need? And so I think for anybody who wants to go out and be an entrepreneur or have a side hustle or like be in control of their own financial destiny, if you will, not ultimate control, but you know what I'm trying to say here, is you have to have the skill or the ability, is a better word in my mind, to sell. And so I think as it relates to what you were, the actual question you're asking is like, how do I figure out how to do what you did and sort of say, hey, you kind of spent your time allocated over here when it probably would have been better allocated over here. I think it comes down to, we don't teach people very well how to achieve a goal, right? Because what happens is we set a goal and sometimes we even are confused about, should I have that goal? Is that a good goal? Is it an acceptable goal? Am I doing something wrong by having that goal? Are my desires wrong because I have that goal? And so, you know, in your case, the goal was, hey, I want to make some extra money. Like, and I think that I have this skill set and I have this interest in this new technology that's making it more possible than ever before in human history for me to like leverage that tool and this skill set and this background I have to turn it into one, helping other people with a thing that they need anyways, and then two, getting rewarded financially for it on the side. And so what I was saying is like, hey, listen, you have an engineer's mind. You went to school for an engineer. You think and process like an engineer, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's a reason that most of the engineers don't own the businesses. Now, that doesn't mean that they're any less good than the business owner. But what it means is we got to start with what's the goal, right? Because if the goal is for you to make a few extra dollars helping some people by building the websites, then the first thing that you need is to get people to say, yes, I want you to help build my website, right? And so what you do, what we all naturally do, is you went straight to the thing that you're good at that comes naturally to you, and that's building the processes, thinking through the steps, engineering the architecture, because like that's where your brain goes, because it's what you're naturally good at. It's who you are in many ways. It's a gift in many ways that God gave you. And yet, at the same time, it doesn't necessarily help you reach this goal, right? It will eventually. It'll probably, if you can actually reach the goal, it's one of the things that will help you reach the goal more often, because you'll be able to like systematize and scale. That's why, like in the tech world, a lot of engineers do end up as the CEO or do end up as the founder of a business, because they finally say, okay, I see it. I'm going to use my engineering skills, but they're going to be subservient in many ways to actually going out and selling this vision that I have, right? And so for you in this instance, and I think for anybody watching or listening to this, going back to, we don't really teach people the importance of goals. And I set goals a little bit different than maybe some other people would say. Like, I don't put timelines on them, and I don't put them on stickies and put them on my mirrors or anything like that. But what I've learned is I've used AI more and more and more. And we talked about this, is like when you prompt AI, a really good framework, if you're working with AI and you're prompting, is you got to give it a goal. You got to provide the context that will help them understand the goal, why it's important, you know, what you're doing as it relates to that goal. You got to describe an action. What's the action that you want to see? And then what's the output that you find acceptable? So if we actually think about that, like if you sat down and you said, my goal is to help someone upgrade their website and get paid, let's say arbitrarily, $2,500 to do that. Okay, well, if we were an AI and our job that we were tasked with was reverse engineering, because that's what AI does. It takes the goal and it tries to logically reverse engineer the steps that it thinks give you the highest likelihood to achieve the goal, right? So AI would sit there and go, okay, what are the most important things in that process that have to occur to get it, like I reach the goal as the result? And what I told you in our conversation is most likely nowhere in that conversation would be engineering the scalable system that makes it repeatable. Not yet. What it would be is go find somebody who's got a website that needs to be upgraded, and sell the vision of what you have for them, right? Get them to say yes, and then believe in yourself enough to go out and actually deliver the end product. And so I think that oftentimes, like even in my own life, where we started this video, there's so many things. Like, what do you do when you have 25 goals? You have a goal as a dad, you have a goal in your finances, you have a goal in your career, you have a goal in your faith. Like, you have all these goals, and you're going like all these goals from a time standpoint feel like they're competing with each other. And even in our conversation earlier, it's like, and there's the websites that you could do, there's chatbots that you could do, there's just chaos. It feels like chaos. It feels like when you look up in the middle of the woods, you know, in the middle of the mountains at the night sky, and there's 8 bazillion stars, except that's life. And you're going, well, how do I find the constellation? And I think that's really what we're talking about is yes, there are abilities that we need that if we're able to do these things, ultimately we're going to get better at being successful, or we're going to have more success. But at the same time, if that success, quote success, still leaves us feeling like chaotic and hurried and not sure what to do, life will be hard. There's a guy, Myron Golden, we've referenced him in the past, but he talks about like 4 layers of value. And the first one, he says, is the tactician, or he calls it the implementation. People who, you know, they get paid to like do a thing, let's say like flip a hamburger or, you know, or whatever it might be. Like, think about maybe fast food or the person like at Home Depot who's going out and getting the carts out of the parking lot. Okay. And that's at like the least skills needed phase, but then it can go all the way up to say like somebody who's framing houses, right? They're an implementer. They're doing the work. And then the next level of value up, right? And consequently, oftentimes these folks get paid a little more is he calls it the unifier, or I would call it the manager, right? Somebody who can oversee other people who are doing the implementation. And then he says communication, right? Because people who then go from like managing to, let's say, like leading are great communicators. He talks a lot about also think about famous people, famous actors, famous book writers, famous movie producers. These are communicators at heart, right? And you can get really far as a communicator. But then he says, but then you have people who are imagining. They're imaginers, right? They're creators. And he says that's the highest level of value. It's people who can go out, they can close their eyes, they can envision something that doesn't exist, they can make it. That would be like, think of Elon Musk or Steve Jobs. But I think that there's a fifth level that's like at the top of that pinnacle. And I think it's allocators. Because, yeah, Elon Musk is definitely imaginative. He's definitely creative. So is Steve Jobs. But actually, I think what made them so impactful, what makes what they're doing so large at scale is they actually know, and we had a video about this a few weeks ago. I think the number one skill that's going to separate people as it gets noisier and noisier in the world is understanding how to allocate their time, their resources, their energy, their focus, their attention, right? That's what, to me, the pinnacle is people who know, and they're very good at understanding how to allocate their resources. Warren Buffett's another great example, right? He's just a great capital allocator. And so I think what we're really wrestling with, and I don't think this is just like an AI conversation. I think people feel this in all walks of life right now. And so I think what we're really talking about is like, how do we know where to allocate? So I said a lot there, and I said a lot as it applies to work. We can talk more about that with regards to what you're trying to build. But I think there's a deeper conversation in there as well, which is just like, how do I actually learn how to allocate just the time and the energy I have when I do have goals, I do have ambitions, I do have desires and dreams, and yet I feel like I live in a time where it's like there's just not enough capacity to do it all.
No, that's really interesting. I think to put it in perspective of, let's say we bring back to the example of what I'm going through right now, like I'm wanting to build this thing. And one of my abilities that I already have is thinking in that engineering mindset, right? So like that's one of the abilities I already have. And sometimes I feel like, if I understand what you're saying correctly, is sometimes I let that take too much of my time. And then I'm not allocating my resources very well. I'm spending all of my most valuable, ability. And I'm not using it correctly. For somebody else maybe listening, they may be like, okay, well, I'm not an engineer, but like I'm a creative, right? So like if they were to use the same website building example, they'd be like, okay, well, maybe they're spending the same time I did just working on the design of the website. Well, nobody, same deal. Nobody knows if you even want the website or not. So, being a good allocator of your resources, like you're saying, that could be your time, your energy, or whatever, is definitely a really interesting thought. And I think totally applicable to not only this scenario, but any scenario. And I think what you're trying to get at as well is like people tend to gravitate to what they believe is their most valuable resource. And then that tends to leave them in a spot to where it's like, okay, they're looking around like helpless, and to your point of like looking up at the stars and like seeing how many opportunities there are, it feels really overwhelming. It feels like to me right now, you brought up even the point of like, okay, well, there's all these other things you're balancing too. You're balancing your faith, your family, your if you have kids, like there's probably a lot of people maybe listening to this and they're like, okay, well, clearly I need to prioritize those things first. That's where my first energy goes. And that's like, okay, that also just goes into this idea of how are you allocating your time? Not to say that you should be, building websites over taking care of your family, but like you, that's kind of the thing that I'm trying to wrap my head around is of like when I'm sitting here looking at the stars, right? Like there's, and I think you brought up the point of like, there's this framework of, you brought up goal, context, action, output. You brought that up for AI prompt. But I think maybe you can put this into better tangible terms than I, but I think there's something there for when you're going into an endeavor or you're going into, for my website building, it's like writing that stuff down, first off, is probably going to give you a better idea of the stars that you're looking at. And then you can build a constellation from there, being like, okay, well, maybe I should probably focus on my family first, or maybe I should focus on my faith first, given this goal, the context, the action, all of it. And I mean, maybe you can clarify that a little bit better, but that's what I think.
Yeah. I think as you're saying that, what I'm thinking in my mind is, let's just use an example. Let's say that you're a 32-year-old guy and you're married and you've been married for 6 years. And let's say you're working a job, and let's say you got two kids and they're 2 and 4, and you're sitting there and you're going, cause you've heard me say this. I think that success in many ways is holistic, right? We glorify a guy who like can throw a lot of touchdowns, but he's been married 4 times and his kids don't like him, you know, whatever. And it's like, I personally don't think that that's the definition of success that I'm that interested in, right? I don't think that's the definition of success that ultimately helps, you know, helps communities thrive and our individual selves thrive. And so I go, okay, well, let's just say I've got these 7 buckets, right? So I've got faith, relationships, health, work, money, time, and then yourself, right? Like your individual self. And I go, okay, so let's say that you want to have a really strong faith and you want to follow the Lord and you want to put him first. Okay, well, then you also have relationships. You want to have great relationships. You want to be close to people. You want them to know you love them. You want to be there for them. You want to have time to like talk to your family members on the phone and get to know your friends better. And then you have your health, man. You want to be fit. You want to be, you know, let's say as a guy, you're 32, you want to be like 16, 17% body fat. You want to be able to run and jump and move. Okay. And then you got your work. You want to be great at your career. Like you want to be an expert. You want to create value. You want to make a difference in society in the place that you're placed. Oh, and then you also want to make enough money to like give your kids a good life and provide for your wife so she doesn't have to work and you know, have some leftover. And like, if you're like me, you want to thrive. Like you want to thrive financially. You want to have abundance, right? And then, so that's your 5. And then you time. Well, I also want to have some time. I want to have time to actually do all these things and enjoy all these things. Cause like, if I have all the money or I have a great career, but I have no time to enjoy it, then I don't know. And then yourself, like you want to keep growing, right? You want to become more of who you were created to be. And then, you know, just as I'm saying it, you start to feel the sense of pressure, of heaviness, of weight. And I think that it's a microcosm. It's an example of when we think about goal setting, how do you even organize those? You know, I tried to put them in an order of importance, but even in that, it's really hard because like for me, faith is like, it's gotta be like the sun, and then the other things have to rotate around it. And oftentimes we like put ourselves where the faith and the sun should be, but then like, okay, but what's the order of the other things? And so I think oftentimes what gets very difficult, we'll use you as an example. I'm not just saying this is your circumstance, but I'm just using you as an example as if it were. It's like, okay, well, let's say your faith is really the sun in this example and all these other 6 things are orbiting around. And then you're like, okay, but I feel like if I'm not being a good provider, then I'm probably not going to, maybe it'll be harder to have a great married relationship, right? Or maybe it will mean I'm not as great at my work as I desire to be, right? And so then these things start conflicting with each other. I think ultimately what we're getting at is how do we actually organize how do we organize what's important to us in an order that allows for us to be good at things? And here's the conclusion I've come to. And this is where I think like, dude, AI is so powerful. It's got so many cool things that we're gonna be able to do and experience and all this stuff. But I don't know if you've noticed, when you talk to AI, when you chat with it, it's like its answers are so long. And to me, it's an example. It's a microcosm of when you look at those 7 areas of your life and you look at all the advice and all the podcasts and all the videos and all the opinions and all the this and all the that, it is just like a chaotic sky. It's like noise, noise, noise. And I think that the way that we win, the way that this thing gets easier, the way that it gets better is we have to be massive simplifiers. Like, that's what, to me, Move Right in so many ways exemplifies is like, listen, almost all of us are stuck in this sea of noise. And so we're all starting to get this similar outcome, which is overwhelm, angst, like a tightness in our chest, you know, a busyness all the time. And then there's some people that are experiencing these uncommon outcomes. And I go, when I look into the future, when I look into the lens of the future, how are people going to experience these uncommon outcomes? And I feel very strongly it's they will be the people who can simplify the best. They will be the people who can take, like, you know, the 400 things that you need to do to run a successful business, and they can put it in like three major categories. So you're not thinking of 400 things all the time. You're thinking of like, am I doing these three majors? I call them majors and minors, right? Like, am I doing these three major things? Because the whole world wants me to pay attention and like fixate on the minors, right? And I'm not saying there's not a time and a place where the minors are important, but I just think that as it relates to all these things. So like here, I'll give you a real life example. People want to say, oh, you want to put your faith first? Well, like you better read through the Bible every year, and you better like memorize Bible verses, and you better this and you better that. And it's like, listen, all those things are great. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of those things. But when I think of it, it's like, do I love God with all my heart? Do I love my neighbor as myself? Right. And then anything. So that's, to me, that's the major. Okay. Then the minor is, well, is my theology sound? And do I know my Bible? I mean, well, that's a major part of it. But like, do I know, can I quote memory verse or scripture verses and all the, and a whole bunch of them? And all this is like, to me, those are important. But if I don't have the majors right first, I shouldn't be worrying about the minor things yet. Right. And so it's the same thing in our business, right? Going back to the example, a major thing in business when you get started, like Kickstarter, that's why they do it the way they do. It's like they want people to say they're interested in buying it before they spend all the time and the money and raise all the money and do all the investing to build the thing. So it's like in business, if we massively simplify it into what's the major, what's the minor. For you in this stage, the major is, can you get anybody to say, yes, I would love for you to do this for me? Everything else doesn't matter until that can happen. And so that's, I don't know if that's helpful at all, but that's kind of how I'm processing through, like, not just for you, but for me and for everybody who's alive right now. I think that the way that AI pumps out content think about this, in 5 years when everybody's using Claude Design or whatever else is out there, and they're all using, you know, the stuff that takes your content and chunks it up for you and posts it here. It's like, dude, it's just going to be noise. There's already too much, and it's going to be like five times worse. So what's going to win? I don't know, probably people who have like small live in-person events. You know, they're going to simplify. They're going to go, hey, like all this stuff is just stressing people out. And it's not even like the major thing. It's literally just making people more stressed out. So we're just going to come. We're going to get a little group. We're going to get to know each other. We're going to do like what we did 50 years ago. And those people, I think, are going to be winners. They're going to get uncommon outcomes because human nature, we were not built to live like this. Right. And it's not going away. It's not going to change. And so I think for us, if we really want to have those uncommon outcomes, if we really want to see our life move towards what's possible, I think it's, how do we simplify? How do we cut out the noise?
Yeah, no, that's really good. And I like both the analogies you used in that. It was your first analogy. You were talking about majors and minors. And I think that's really, really interesting. And then I think the other analogy you said was like a solar system for our faith, relationship, health, all of that is like a solar system with the sun, faith as the sun, right? And I think, you know, if I were to put this into terms that maybe I could digest for accumulating everything that you just said, it's almost like your faith is always going to be a major, right? That's always going to be a major, but it's almost like going through the friction of, you know, what are you classifying as a major in the other six things, right? It's like, you know, if your marriage is failing, you know, if you're having a hard time with your marriage, that's probably a major, right? And, you know, if maybe you're borderline bankrupt, and then probably your finances are a major, you know, or your money's your major. And I think it's, we've talked about this a lot. I think a lot of it is in the friction, right? And I think it's, I think you bring up an excellent point of, you know, basically looking at that and being able to identify the majors versus the minors, I think is going to be really, really valuable, especially in that case. And man, I just feel like for me, given the position that I'm in right now, I feel like I feel like sometimes it feels so helpless, right? Like sometimes it feels so like the walls are closing in, like it feels powerless. I was even having a conversation the other day with my wife about this. Like she's kind of bouncing around the ideas as possibly changing careers. And she's like, okay, well, maybe I'll just go back to doing the thing that I was doing before. I was like, well, right now you're feeling the walls closing in, right? And that's causing you to lose creativity. Right. That's causing you to think about things in a way like a dog backed into a corner. Right. And when a dog is backed into a corner, they're going to bite you, you know? And it's like, that's not the thing. Right. That's not the answer to your thing. And it's like to bring some hope to what we're talking about here is like, there is a way that like all of this noise is accumulated into something that's actually tangible and yet you can actually move forward on. And like you said, I think you brought up an excellent way of thinking of it. It's like classifying these things as majors and minors. And it's like, you brought up skills and abilities, that would be the abilities, like learning how to classify the things that are major versus the classify the things that are minor and do it out of like, out of hope, right? Hope that you can do these things, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think going back to Myron, we were talking about Myron earlier and he says, I always forget the first part essentially, but it's like, doubt, this is what he says, doubt is faith or belief in the thing you don't desire, okay? So when you believe what you don't desire is going to happen, you are inherently doubting. And he says, faith is belief in what you do desire, right? And so our natural mind is geared towards, that's why like in the Bible, the 10 spies, they went into the promised land with the other two spies and they saw all the same stuff. Right. But their mind was fixated on the thing that they did not desire. Right. And they believed in what they didn't desire. Like that would be the outcome. And so the result was doubt that kept them out of the promised land. But on the other side, you had these two guys who they saw the same thing. They saw it in the same way. And yet they had belief in the thing that God had promised, the thing they did desire. And they were the ones that got to take the people in years later. And so So I think that's what you got to think about. What we're experiencing here is the same. We're all seeing the same stuff, man. We're all seeing the AI and we're all seeing, you know, the economy and we're all seeing the political realm. And there's going to be some people, most people, if we look at them as a model or a picture, who are going to have belief in the doubt. And belief in doubt will keep everyone out. Everyone. And then there's going to be some people, probably a lot less, who have belief in what they desire, and that's faith, right? And they're going to be the ones who can help lead people. That's what the right side represents to me. It's like, listen, man, I look around and all I see is everybody who's got an excuse of why it sucks and why it's going to get worse and why this isn't possible and it's only for those guys and yada, yada, yada. And they have belief in what they don't want. They doubt. And I want my life. I am certainly not perfect at it, but I want my life to be a life where I see what's possible. I believe it's reachable. I have faith in the thing and I go for it. And hopefully there's a couple other people who I can inspire to come along with me, right? So when I think about, if I'm going to boil this down, I go, here's what I wrote down. And anybody watching or listening, you know, this is tough because as you may have noticed by now, I usually don't get to where I feel like it's clicking in my brain until we get to like the last second half of what we talk about. And it's just how God works in my mind, I think. But here's what I wrote down. There's a saying, you got a major in the major and minor in the minors, right? That's true. So if we are going to go through all this craziness and we're going to try and chunk it down into simple, digestible buckets, let's say, it's first step. Sit down and try and identify, is this a major thing or a minor thing? Right? So I take the faith example I gave you. If we know that our time and our effort and all these things is like competing with each other, say, hey, what is the major thing in faith? Right? I'd say probably a major thing is knowing God's word. Right? And I would say another major thing is loving people. Right? And those two things happen in conjunction with each other. We could sit and brainstorm, but like, everybody should sit down and say, what are the major things? Like, and then say, well, what are the minor things? And let's say you think some minor things are like, should women preach in church? Or maybe you think some minor things are like, what denomination should I be? Or whatever it might be. I'm not trying to prescribe here. I'm just giving people a mental model. And then you sit down and you say, listen, okay, let's say I took the seven buckets of life and let's say I wrote down the majors and let's say there was three or four in each one. That's, you know, let's say that's 21 to 27 majors. How much time do we really have to be majoring in the minors? Right? If we really want to simplify life, if we really want to stop feeling stressed out, well, we should stop stressing about all the minors in my mind, right? And as an aside, that's where I do think AI has the ability to do some help is in some of these areas in our life, right? Some of those minors like paying your bills and doing things that are monotonous and repetitive. I do think that we're going to have some tools that we've never had to make those a little bit easier, but that's neither here nor there as it relates to this. But I just think, listen, like we're all experiencing the same stuff. And I think if we can identify what's major, what's minor, what's worth paying attention to, what's not. And yes, it is a bit, it's an ability. It's a skill that the more you do it, the more you think of it this way, the better you'll get. But I want to bolt onto that. So let's say that you go, a major thing of being, let's say making money is, can I influence people to do something that I think is good for them? Right? We would call that salesmanship. Let's say that's what you think is a major. Then you would say, okay, well, what abilities make it where that's possible? What abilities, what things do I need to get better at or become good at in order for me to actually major in that major, right? And so I think it's just sitting down and thinking through, where is it actually worth investing my time? And so if we take it all the way back to the original example of you with the website thing, and it's like sit down and say, what is the goal? What are the majors that make that goal possible, right? And then what are the abilities that I have to cultivate in order to be successful in those majors, right? And then as you go, you'll start to learn, instead of having to try and think from scratch, you'll start to learn what the minors are. And then you start to hire for people to help you with the minors, because then those minors become their majors. Does that make sense?
Right. No, 100%. And I'm kind of, for me, it's kind of, the dots are kind of connecting as well, because we've had a conversation a few times. This is probably my, I don't know, third or fourth, fifth, sixth rendition of trying to start something from scratch, right? And really try to fulfill my entrepreneurial feelings that I have. And, you know, first off, I'd like to say that I had this idea of building websites before and you know, it wasn't really right time because the tools weren't really readily available for me to do that. Now it's like with AI, it's like, that's one of those things where it was a minor at one point. And now it's like, now it's moving into a major because it's like, I can shrink the amount of time that I'm doing that in. The other thing is I was going to bring up, one of my past experiences of trying, I was almost wanting to start like a pressure washing business at one point in time. And I really wanted to start that. And I think that was really important to me as well, because I found that going through that process of trying to start that there were certain things that I had identified as majors that were actually minors, right? So for me, it was like I did the same thing as I kind of did in this scenario this past weekend with the website building, and you know, I feel like that was kind of on a bigger scale of I went in and I built all the quote platforms and I built all the, you know, I did all the back end stuff. And then I didn't actually ever go out and pressure wash any buildings or any houses or anything like that. And, you know, the point that I'm trying to get to with that is identifying what you're talking about. I think what you're saying also is the minors aren't the things that are not going to be done. Like the minors are going to get done at one point in time. They're going to be addressed at one point in time. It's just the majors are the things that you're solving for right now. It's like the majors that I was solving for were the things that probably should have been the minors afterwards. They're still equally as important, but it's prioritizing those things that are got done first. It's almost like a sequencing thing in my mind, which maybe you can see, maybe you'd say it differently, but that's like the sequencing part of it is like, okay, if I went out and found my clients first, I probably could have figured out all the quote platforms, all the back end things that I would need to get that done, but I'd still be doing something. I'd still be pressure washing. I'd still be building websites. I'd still be doing the thing. And there's a mess set in there, right? And that's kind of what I was thinking about when you were saying that.
Yeah, well, it's 100% true, and it's natural. Most people are gonna it's the same, dude. Like I don't care, business, side hustle. Here's the reality in the world that we live in today, because there's so many tools. people who think they want to do that and be an entrepreneur and be in business for themselves can literally convince themselves that they're on the journey of doing it without ever having to actually step into the arena, because the tools can keep them busy building all the stuff that they think represents a business without actually ever doing the thing that actually is a business, which is going out and telling people you can help them and asking them if they want your help. And so for you, I'll say two things. One is, if you really want to be an entrepreneur, if you really want to be in business, if you really want that life, then one of the most major things, right, is the ability to go out into the marketplace and say, this is what I have, and this is why I think it would help you. And if you're interested in being helped, this is how much it costs, right? So like, that is a major. Now, like you said, all the other things have to happen under it. You still have to be able to quote and account and all those things, right? But those are subservient to this parent idea or this parent necessity, right? But at the same time, I think what you have to think about, because we do live in this culture where they just tell people all the time, like, well, you can never live the life you want if you're not an entrepreneur. And it's just not true. Okay. So you have to think about, listen, you said 5 minutes ago that you've gone through five iterations of like planning and engineering, and it's because it's what you gravitate towards. It's like the ability. We talked about, I think, in our last conversation, about this idea of your unique ability or your identity or your skills and your gifts that God gave you. And it's like, so what you also have to be able to discern, this would be a major thing for you, is to step back and go, listen, I know that I love this because every time I go into something that I'm interested in, it's the first thing I go to. So then what you have to decide is God trying to show me that instead of trying to become and do something that I don't actually find that interesting, which is to go out and sell, like I should go find an opportunity to engineer for people, to optimize for people. Or I need to find a business partner who loves to go sell, who loves to do the thing that I keep hesitating on and just wants me to do the thing that I really love to do and that I'm really good at, which is like optimize, systematize. Yeah. And this is why God puts us in community, right? We live in a culture where that's like, you can do it on your own and partners are a pain in the butt and it's going to ruin your life. It's going to be, nobody can get along. No, it's like, yeah. And all that is, dude, it's just the empire. It's just the empire saying, listen, you got to go out on your own. You got to tough it out. You got to do your own thing. And the reality is God's probably up there going, no, actually, like, I created you to be really good at this. And there's this guy or there's this gal over there that I created to do really good. The thing that you keep procrastinating on, the thing that you're not that interested in, probably never going to be that great at. I'm not saying you won't, but I'm just as an example. And all you have to do, like we talk about all the time, it's a who, not a how. There's probably a who out there, right? If you don't want to do that, if this is your gifting, which I would say, like you've got five iterations now that keep pushing you in that direction, right? So then maybe and this is the thing, part of this whole process is we have to be self-aware. Like we have to take feedback. We have to be able to look in the mirror and say like, what should I be seeing here? Right? And I'm not trying to convince you or tell you, I'm not trying to convince you one way or tell you to do one thing. I'm just saying like part of the process for all of us, it's not a formula. It's saying, huh, maybe there's something here. Maybe there's a who out there who can supplement this thing. And maybe, you know, a three-corded or a two-corded rope or string or whatever is much stronger than one on my own. And I think oftentimes in this environment, like we're just trying to do things on our own that we were meant to do in community.
Right. No, and I think that's so good because personally for me, it's like, I feel like I did a pretty dang job of building the back end of this, right? like I feel like if there was a person out there, like you're saying, I could go out there and just like take this built thing and like, man, just go out there and sell it. Like, I think this thing would be awesome. You know what I mean? And it's like that is a self-analysis. I appreciate you bringing that up for me is like, and I think it's the same thing for somebody else on the other side. Like maybe they do love that process. Maybe they just love the design part of it. Right. I keep seeing like the other people that are maybe feeling that like the engineer is my thing, but it is exactly what you said. I completely agree. It is a who, not how. So like from where I'm going to come from here, I feel like it's pretty clear. It's probably, I should find somebody who's really good at selling and likes to do it. So.
Exactly. Well, cool. Well, if you're still here, 42 minutes later, we appreciate it as always. And hopefully you got some out of this conversation. You know, this is real. This is, we're not pre-scripting this. We're just talking about what are we really dealing with? And what would a path, like, I don't know the answers. I'm exploring just like everybody else, but what could a path be to the outcomes we desire, to outcomes that, that really are uncommon, but that are possible? Those are the kinds of things that we try and tackle here. So if you liked it, we'd love to hear about it. Smash the like button, share it with a friend, help us spread the message. And maybe if you got some feedback or you have a thought, leave it in the comments section below. You can also check out the website if you want to connect, kosturos.com, KOSTUROS.com. And again, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.